NAVEX reported that compliance is highly or moderately engaged across several business process topics, such as reputational harm, data breach, or mergers. Notwithstanding this finding, however, compliance is often brought late into the process. What a surprise. In the merger and acquisition area, NAVEX reported that compliance was not adequately engaged in a timely manner, and even one-fifth of the respondents noted that they were never engaged in company mergers and acquisitions. And we have argued for a long time that not only does compliance have to be engaged early in the due diligence process for a merger and acquisition, but in terms of the integration planning, and now with the incentives created for post-acquisition integration and self-reporting as a way to escape any kind of liability, it's even more important that compliance has a seat at the table in the integration process.
Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Welcome, Michael Volkoff here for another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, back from Sicily in the United States in Del Mar. Today, we're going to talk about NAVEX's recent report on the state of risk and compliance programs. In general, there was a lot of positive news, but some surprising gaps when you look at it. These are issues that just don't seem to cross our radar screens, but I'm really surprised to see some of them, and we'll talk about them as a result. Now, NAVEX obviously delivers quality studies and important insights on ethics and compliance topics. This 2024 State of Risk and Compliance Programs is a comprehensive report on current trends and practices involving risk and compliance management. The report reflects the survey results from over 1,000 respondents globally who influence or manage their organization's risk and compliance programs. So there's a risk perspective here, and there's also compliance programs here. Over half of the respondents came from the United States, 56%, while others came from the United Kingdom, 12%, France, 11%, and Germany, 11%. The respondents also were from a broad cross-section of companies in size and industry. So as an overarching and initial matter, NAVEX reported on continued progress by compliance programs in the sense of becoming more mature. And they apply the compliance program measurement scale, the 1 to 5 scale, developed by the Ethics and Compliance Initiative, which is a really good scale in terms of measuring maturity and how well developed the program is. Approximately half of the respondents stated that their compliance program was in one of the top two maturity tiers for compliance programs. Under the ECI standard, that's managing or optimizing. Only 22%, 1 out of 5, stated that their program was in one of the two lowest tiers, underdeveloped or defining. But interesting in terms of people self-measuring, self-reporting in such a positive way. Now, interesting related findings. Less mature compliance programs were associated with lower likelihood of employee reporting. The majority of respondents, 77%, said their employees would most likely make a report of misconduct internally rather than going, let's say, outside and reporting to the government or taking advantage of a whistleblower program, which I think is interesting. But the more important correlation is that maturity is associated with employee reporting. The more employee reporting, there's an associated connection with a mature compliance program, which makes sense. In other words, they receive information, employees are willing to provide such information, and I think that's an important aspect of the report. Now, despite the steady state of compliance program maturity, the NAVEX survey uncovered a number of important gaps in compliance programs, and some of which I just find difficult to understand in today's environment, and given all the attention and focus on compliance program elements and the required compliance program elements. For example, only 61% of the respondents said their organization has a hotline or whistleblower internal reporting channel. And I find that hard to believe. I just cannot believe that almost every company we come into contact with has got some kind of internal reporting system. I'm not saying it's the most mature, but they have some kind of internal reporting hotline, usually involving emails electronically or even telephone. So this to me is just surprising. So fewer, 55%, said their organization has a non-retaliation policy. And I think when you promote your employee reporting, every time you mention your employee reporting system, you have to reiterate, like we tell everyone, your non-retaliation policy and your commitment to it. And then only 64% said training on ethics and a code of conduct was planned in the next 2 to 3 years. To me, that's something that should be almost not annual, but at least once every 2 years that everybody should take it. And frankly, it should be made available on a regular basis, but even, you know, annually. If you're going to do sanctions compliance, which is mandated every year, you should be able to do an ethics and compliance code update, refresh, whatever, every year. Now, let's talk about some other issues that there were surveys on, and I want to sort of focus on some of these, which are right sort of in areas that I write about a fair amount and comment on. And that was cross-functional relationships. So given the importance of cross-functional relationships, more than half of the respondents indicated they have a strong relationship with compliance. That's 58%. Data privacy, strong relationship with 53%, and risk, 53%. And on the negative side, one-fifth cited negative cooperation, cross-functional relationships with who? The two entities that I have said that the walls need to break down and that we need to see greater collaboration, HR and finance. HR because obviously culture, working with them in investigations, sharing data as to what kind of complaints are coming in, what are the concerns, what kinds of issues, who's on top of the culture and what's the pulse of the company, HR, which needs to share its data with compliance. And number two, finance. Finance needs to open up its internal controls, internal accounting controls, so that compliance can be a partner at the table in terms of invoice to purchase order to payment to process, the whole process. And of course, this report confirms what I've said for a long time. HR and finance are the most resistant to cooperation and cross-functional cooperation. Another issue that came up was compliance incidents. Half of the respondents said their organization experienced at least one compliance issue in the past 3 years, and 31% said they experienced more than one issue. And of course, the most commonly cited issue was privacy and cybersecurity, 28%. The second most cited issue was regulatory or stakeholder demand or ESG transparency and reporting, and that was 17%. Now, that seems to me, the second issue seems to be more of an issue with regard to in Europe, which was a significant amount of the survey respondents. But cybersecurity in the United States, clearly the number one risk, clearly across the globe, the number one risk. I also was surprised that there was 31%, one third said that they had compliance incidents, more than one issue in the last 3 years. Compliance engagement and merger and acquisitions. Navex reported that compliance is highly or moderately engaged across several business process topics, such as reputational harm, data breach, or mergers. Notwithstanding this finding, however, compliance is often brought late into the process. What a surprise. In the merger and acquisition area, Navex reported that compliance was not adequately engaged in a timely manner, and even one-fifth of the respondents noted that they were never engaged in company mergers and acquisitions. And we have argued for a long time that not only does compliance have to be engaged early in the due diligence process for a merger and acquisition, but in terms of the integration planning, and now with the incentives created for post-acquisition integration and self-reporting as a way to escape any kind of liability, it's even more important that compliance has a seat at the table in the integration process. So let's go to a couple of other issues. We had third-party risk management, of course, always a top issue for people to focus on. And only 69% of the respondents cited their organization's monitoring and risk management of third parties as at least good. 3 out of every 10 organizations experience challenging circumstances related to this. Respondents cited challenges in continuous monitoring of the supply chain, and approximately 11% of the respondents noted that their program was poor with respect to ongoing monitoring of third parties. Just under half of the respondents offer third parties access to their company's internal reporting system. We also had some interesting findings with regard to ESG programs. Roughly half of the respondents who are knowledgeable about ESG stated that their organization uses purpose-built technology to administer ESG disclosures, 55%. Employee equity and inclusion, 54%. Responsible supply chain, 53%. And resource footprints, 51%. A third of the respondents, 33%, stated that their organization conducts a materiality assessment and has identified ESG risks. Again, I think a lot of this was dictated more by companies, I would say, outside the United States, but we didn't get a breakdown on that. But I bet you it's more of that, given the sort of, I would say, broader embrace of the ESG issue outside the United States. Board engagement. Navex reported that strong board engagement correlated with positive metrics on the compliance and risk analysis. 2/3 of the respondents said their board receives periodic reports on compliance matters. Notably, 1/3 of the respondents indicated that the board does not receive periodic compliance reports. And that, to me, is a disturbing result. Artificial intelligence popped up its ugly head here with regard to training. And with the rapid development of artificial intelligence, approximately 40% indicated they were planning training on AI issues in the next 2 to 3 years. I think that number will go up with time. And the final issue was supply chain management. Respondents generally cited the need for improvements for their organization's third-party due diligence. For the most part, organizations were strong for activities that occur before or at the start of the relationship. In other words, setting contract terms, business rationales, enhanced due diligence, and tracking and addressing red flags. Many identified weaknesses in their processes related to continuous monitoring, like we mentioned earlier, and risk management throughout the lifespan of the third-party relationship. So that's a quick look at Navex's report. When you get a chance, take a look at the report. It's definitely worth reading and see what you think, but Navex can always be counted on giving us important insights. And take a look at the gaps that are cited here and double-check your own program with regard to these issues. And as always, we're ready to help and support you in anything you may need in this area. So thank you once again, and we'll see you for another episode next week.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkov, go to volkovlaw.com.